Thursday night on the Fan pregame, Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, Ailish and Justin. Lots going on in the network tonight. Lots going on in our show for the next hour. Later on, we've got the Stanley Cup rematch, Panthers and Golden Knights. It's the late game tonight, 10 p.m., and Pittsburgh and Boston kicking things off at 7 p.m. Both of those are on Sportsnet. We've got some NBA action as well. Giannis and Wemby at 7 p.m. at the tall game, followed by the defending champs and the Warriors at 10 p.m. Both of those can be found on Sportsnet 1. We will be breaking news later on the show around 6:50. We will share the first 16 players from the Eastern Conference selected to the All-Star game, which, of course, is a month away, and is here in our city. And then during the first intermission of that Penguins-Bruins game on Sportsnet, the first 16 Western Conference players will be announced. This is exciting. We get to be a part of saying something that nobody's heard.
But the only downside is we got to like quickly come up with snubs on the spot. Yeah. It's going to be difficult to figure out who got left off the roster immediately, but we'll endeavor to do so.
So we'll have that a little later in the show. Steve Mayer will join us, Chief Content Officer for the NHL, to go through some of the exciting changes that obviously the NHL has decided to do for the All-Star game, which is here in our city, including the $1 million prize for the skills competition, which is going to change things big time. We got the PWHL involved as well. You had a question about a Young Stars game. I didn't even ever think about that. Having young kids out there would be really cool to do.
Well, I mean, I guess there's a lot of people borrowing ideas.
I like that
the
one,
NBA,
though.
Right? But there's so many good players out there who just have no chance because, you know, it's really difficult to make an NHL All-Star game nowadays. But who wouldn't want to see the players who are in the same conversation as Connor
Bedard? Oh, I thought
you
meant like the young stars.
What do you mean?
Like some AAA
kids.
Like
a midget AAA.
Yeah, that's what I thought you meant.
No. I want to see like Connor Zary out there.
I think that's fun too.
You could do that between the intermissions.
That's fun too. That's maybe something we bring up with Steve a little later in the show. But we're joined now by Greg Wyshynski, ESPN National Senior Writer of the NHL. Greg, thanks for joining us. I believe you're on your way, or you might be at Madison Square Garden tonight.
Yeah, on my way. You know, there's nothing better than being there for an incredible rookie's first game at Madison Square Garden, just to hear that question that we all love to hear. What was it like to play your first game at Madison Square Garden? That is, it's like a rite of passage for NHL players. And I'm sure Connor Bedard will get the question tonight, and he will say, what an honor it is to play.
Beautiful arena.
We could probably set our watch to that one. That's a big game, of course, at Madison Square Garden in New York, but a big one, Stanley Cup rematch tonight. You've been pumping out the content, Greg. You've been helping us form our opinions and discussions on this show, but recently you had sort of a Stanley Cup tier. And the teams that are in the Stanley Cup or were in the Stanley Cup final last year rematching tonight, both tier one, but eighth and ninth respectively in the NHL based on points percentage now. Is that part hangover for you, or are these two teams sort of in the position you expect them to be in, and it's just different when we get to the playoffs where we might see the true version of these teams sort of stand out again?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much probably you got to be in it to win it for a team like Vegas, for example, who obviously is pretty quite content with the way things went last year, but is dealing with the hangover and no doubt the expectations that are placed on them. Their offense has kind of been a little bit up and down. They've obviously dealt with some really bizarre injuries in the sense of, like, no one expected Adin Hill to be as great as he was earlier this season, and then he just like had to disappear for a while because of injuries, which has not been the best thing for them. But the interesting thing about Vegas for me is, like, is this going to be the year where the thing that we all expected to happen last year does happen, which is that the goaltending does cost them? I mean, you know, the Adin Hill thing was something no one expected. He had the best two months of hockey of his life, and lo and behold, they win the cup. But I mean, like, if he can't stay healthy and they go into battle with Logan Thompson, who's not been, you know, battle tested in the playoffs necessarily, like, what does that end up looking like for a team that on paper remains one that could easily go back to back? And then, you know, the Panthers case is an interesting one too, in the sense of, like, they've been very good, but one guy has not been great, which is Matthew Tkachuk. with only 6 goals so far this season after going back-to-back 40-goal seasons. His shooting percentage is under 5, so obviously a metric that we expect to bounce back pretty handily maybe in the second half of the season. But again, you know, picking up points, looking very good in the division, and most likely a playoff team again.
Yeah, if we're weighing those two things, right? Or are we weighing, hey, will Vegas' goaltending hold up versus, hey, will Matthew Tkachuk's shooting percentage improve beyond 5%? I mean, I probably lean towards Florida in that case, and that Matthew Tkachuk will probably figure it out, and this Florida Panthers team will benefit from it. But I think the thing that they might benefit from the most in the playoffs, and maybe right now, is that they've really embraced this, like, bad boy image. Like, they're trying to be the toughest team in the NHL, and it seems like, you know, that can work to a certain extent in the regular season, but it really stands out in the playoffs, and it might be a nightmare for a certain Atlantic Division team that they may or may not visit again, or meet again in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But, like, are the Panthers that? Are the Panthers the toughest team in the NHL, or are they just kind of acting like it right now?
I mean, based on the available evidence, I guess the toughest team might be the Minnesota Wild, right? They just hit people in the face. Off the face-off.
That is true.
I mean, they're just nasty characters. No, I mean, you know, there's a certain amount of stuff that's there, but don't sell Vegas short. I mean, Vegas is a team that can certainly bring some snarl. Maybe it doesn't necessarily have the collection of players that that you normally associate with that kind of thing, but they play tough. They play big when they need to play big. But Florida, obviously, is a different mix insofar as, you know, they can bring it physically, but they also can annoy you. You know, like the Tkachuk of it all, the Nick Cousins of it all. They can also be a team that can be pretty agitating as well.
I don't know. I have to go back and look at your predictions preseason, but I was not big on the Boston Bruins. I think I publicly stated many times I think that they were going to miss the playoffs. They obviously got up to that pretty hot start. But what's your surprise level, or I guess even your belief level, that this Bruins team, despite losing pieces, despite having questions coming into the season, has really shown that they can be consistent, that they can be a team that might be there in the end when it's all said and done?
Sorry about that. I wasn't surprised that they are contending. Like, when the foundation that they come in with is a Jim Montgomery team with the best goaltending tandem in the league and a defense that includes Charlie McAvoy and Hampus Lindholm, like, you're doing pretty good for yourself. That's a pretty good starting point. And then who's scoring goals? Well, you've got David Pastrnak, and you've got Brad Marchand, and depending on the week, you have Jake DeBrusque. So, you know, they've got some people to put the puck in the net, too. Not enough of them, but a few. So I was pretty confident that they were going to be a team that contended in the East. I didn't quite think they'd be, like, President's Trophy contending, but definitely contending. The interesting thing about them, as I wrote about today on the ESPN tiers piece, is, like, they clearly need help. Like, they clearly need to make the kinds of aggressive trade deadline moves that they made last year in order to bolster this lineup and really make it something that can push for a Stanley Cup. The problem being is that they went all in last year, and they pushed so many chips into the middle of the table in acquiring Bertuzzi and Orlov, and now, you know, you look at their draft pick situation this year, and obviously their farm system has never been really one to write home about for the last few seasons, and you say to yourself, okay, well, what could they give up to find that center that they need, or what could they give up to find those goals they need in order to really get over the hump?
The highest ranking Canadian teams on your list were Winnipeg and Vancouver, which was in tier two, or they were in tier two, ahead of the Edmonton Oilers and the Toronto Maple Leafs. For Winnipeg or Vancouver, is there a way or a pathway for them to be elevated to true Stanley Cup contenders, maybe tier one contenders for you? It seems like Winnipeg, you know, they've been waiting to make that move. It seems like they could be aggressive this time of year. And Vancouver is an aggressive team, but maybe they still have the wiggle room for one more move to put them over the top. Do you think Winnipeg or Vancouver has that path to true, true elite status?
Yeah, if you can give me one more defenseman on Vancouver, they might get there. And I mean, like, in the way that we saw Pietrangelo and Theodore, and the way that we saw Hedman and McDonough, like, I feel like they could really use that other guy to kind of, like, alleviate some of the pressure on Quinn to you know, do everything himself. Like, if they can find that guy and find him at a reasonable price and fit him in under the cap, then they might get elevated. The Jets are the more interesting one for me, though. Like, part of the article today was using some of the computations from our friends at Stathletes about the probability of these teams making the playoffs. They had the Jets at like 98 or 99% probability to make the playoffs, which surprised me because they're not out of the wild yet. But the way that they play defense and the fact that they play defense so well in front of maybe the best goalie in the league really has these computer models saying that the Jets are one that you have to watch, that bears watching as not only a team that can qualify for the playoffs, but potentially even win the West. And I don't think if you asked 100 hockey fans, like, tell me about the Winnipeg Jets, you're going to get the vast majority of them saying they could win the Cup this year. But based on the metrics, they certainly could.
Yeah, I'd love to see an aggressive move from the Winnipeg Jets because it feels, yeah, they made the Pierre-Luc Dubois for Patrick Laine trade. They've made some moves and have been forced to make some moves, but I'd love to see them see this as an opportunity and really, truly try to get better before the deadline and make a run at it. I mentioned that you were informing decisions and conversations for us. Well, you've been doing so by releasing your award rankings where you're doing surveying those who might be involved in choosing the NHL award winners at the end of the year. Nathan MacKinnon, number one for you right now in terms of the Hart Trophy, and deservedly so. He's had a fantastic season. But Austin Matthews not getting that much love, and maybe we're a little bit biased because we're seeing all 30 of these goals up close and personal here. But are you a little bit surprised that Austin Matthews, who might be on a path towards 65, 70 maybe, isn't getting as much love for the Hart Trophy right now?
I'm not surprised only because there's so many people in the queue ahead of him. I mean, you talk about MacKinnon for one, who obviously has a bit of recency bias playing in his favor. We polled all the voters within the last week, and that's the tail end of what was, a franchise record threatening streak for MacKinnon as far as points per game. And then you've got, you know, Pasternak on the Bruins, you've got Panarin on the Rangers, you've got, and then the other one who actually made it into the top three, Kucherov on the Lightning. You've got a number of forwards right now that I think have a little bit more buzz, a little bit more juice than Austin does. But that being said, you know, if it ends up being the goal total that he's projected to have, it's going to be hard to deny him as a Hart Trophy candidate at the end of the year, especially if he's seen as the reason the Leafs, say, qualify for the playoffs. I mean, that's part of it, too, obviously. It's not just stats. Mm. It's a narrative award as well. It's one of the reasons why Kucherov, I think, has a lot of support, is that you look at the point standings for the Lightning right now, and you see Kucherov basically a country mile ahead of Braden Point as far as, you know, scoring on his own team. That's the kind of thing that you point to and say that guy's an MVP. I think at the end of the year, when you look at what Austin ends up goal-wise, you might be able to say the same thing for him.
It definitely illustrates how far we've come, though. I mean, if 65 goals is an automatic MVP, I mean, like 10 years ago, we're talking about maxing out at about 90 points. Like 65 goals, not guaranteed to be the Hart Trophy winner, is pretty wild. Quickly following up on Nathan MacKinnon, I mean, like famously the bridesmaid, like famously coming second, third, being close, but not being able to be the Hart Trophy winner. What's different about Nathan MacKinnon this year for you?
Just a streak. I mean, like that's the reason he's ahead. I mean, the bottom line is that when you make that much noise and when you get that much renown and the voting is happening at that time, you're gonna get ahead of the field. I mean, it's the same thing we see in April in some seasons where, you know, I remember, you know, when Thornton won, it was a late push. When Perry won, it was a late push. It's all about kind of like when you're able to really impress the voters. Because honestly, like when you look at that team, he's been great, but it's not like the cupboard's bare. You know, it's not like they don't have Rantanen. It's not like they don't have McCarr. It's not the same kind of vibe as some situations where you look at a guy like Pasternak, for example, and it feels like he's on an island by himself in trying to drive the offense for his team. So I think it's timing, to be honest with you. And I wouldn't be surprised if when we do the awards watch for February, it might be a different player on top.
We're chatting with Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. A little later in the show, we're going to share the first 16 players of the Eastern Conference that will be headed to the All-Star weekend, which is here in Toronto. So I wonder for you, things you're looking forward to. So there's definitely some changes, which might spark some more interest. There's lots of money on the line this time around. Looks like they're going to be very innovative. What have you liked most about what you know so far about the NHL All-Star weekend?
Oh, the skills competition by far. Like, I'm a skills fan to begin with. It's my favorite part of All-Star Weekend. I loved the goofy stuff. Like, and not only because I covered it, like going on the strip and watching guys shooting pucks at playing cards and then going to a golf course in Florida and watching them play, like, golf, you know, hockey golf. Like, I appreciate all that. I love all that. I know you're having Steve Mayer on, and he's been a real genius in some of the things that he's been able to add to the All-Star game. That being said, like, it does put the focus on the best of the best and what they can do. And I love the fact that they worked with Connor McDavid to craft this skills competition. And I do love the fact, by the way, that it's a limited field. I know that everybody watches All-Star Weekend to see their people do, you know, fun things and interact with people. But, you know, if you can narrow it down to like 12 guys that are the creme de la creme when it comes to hockey skill and have them battle all the way through, I think that's kind of cool, and I think it's a different way to approach it. I feel like it's sort of a little bit more like you're watching a reality show or a televised sports competition than watching an All-Star Weekend, in the sense that you can kind of like watch these guys go from event to event and really get invested in how they play.
Yeah, we're super excited for it. Hopefully get a chance to be down there and see it up close and personal. We'll have all 16 of the first from the East announced at the end of our show. And then for listeners, during the first period or first intermission of Pittsburgh, Boston, the West Coast 16 will be announced. So stay tuned for that. And yes, we'll have Steve Mayer on to talk a little bit more about some of these changes. Involved will be the PWHL. I don't know if you had an opportunity to watch any of the first three games, but it's exciting to have three franchises in the United States. Obviously, that's where you're at. How are you consuming what has been a pretty great inaugural 3 days for the PWHL? And do you have a fandom? Like, are you picking a team so far?
Well, I'm a New York guy, so yeah. I got to pick New York, even though they're playing in Connecticut.
Well, you did beat us already, too.
Yeah, it stinks because, like, you know, when the PHF was around and the NWHL was around, they were the Metropolitan Riveters, and not only was it one of the most iconic logos, I think, in recent hockey history, but it also was an acknowledgement that there are fans in New Jersey, there are fans in New York, there are fans in Connecticut. Like, we're all coming together to support this team. And so to call it New York and then play the games in Connecticut is a little bit of a wonky thing, but it is what it is. It's out of necessity. It's year one. You do the things you got to do. And they are playing some games at UBS Arena on Long Island, so at least you get that. Listen, the thing I want to see, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone, is there's going to be a huge media push, a lot of coverage in the first week, maybe 2 weeks of the season. We're all very excited it exists. It's what happens after that. I think that the problem with a lot of the women's leagues that have been around in the last decade that I've covered is that we all cover the inaugural thing or opening weekend and get very excited about the teams and the players, and then it really falls off. And God bless the blogs and the writers that cover women's hockey on a day-to-day basis and keep those fans informed after the national media falls off. But that's the thing I want to see is at least a little bit more coverage in season of these teams. Now that we have the national team players in this league, now that everybody's got the one league going on, we have to start treating it like a real league and not simply just like taking pictures of people lined up outside to get into the game. Like it's that's how you grow the sport.
Yeah.
It's treated as a sport with stakes.
Could not agree more. It's been a pretty easy week, you know, to be engaged, to be sharing, to be seeing it because it's been at the forefront. But you're right, like, you know, 3 weeks from now, week or 16th game in the season, like, how are we covering it? I think that's really important. We'll let you go, Greg. You got a big night ahead. You're at the world's most famous arena. It must be a privilege to enter and an honor to be there, just like Connor Bedard tonight. So enjoy the game, and we'll chat with you soon.
Huge honor, and of course, like, I got to tuck in early tonight to watch the Americans in the gold medal game tomorrow.
I was trying to go without mentioning it, but yeah, I knew, yeah. Congrats on getting a medal. And
it was a good comeback.
We'll see, yeah. All right, Greg. We'll talk soon. Care. Thanks so much. Greg Wyshynski of ESPN. I was going to ask him a World Juniors question. I'm like, you know what? He already just said the New York, and then New York beat Toronto, the PWHL game, so Then he had to get his dagger in there.
It would have been 90 seconds of gloating, which I don't know if we could handle or have time for. I would prefer to spend the 90 seconds asking you this. Stanley Cup rematch. It's tonight on Sportsnet, Vegas, and Florida. But is that something you'd want to see over and over again in the Stanley Cup final? And I guess, like, yeah, you're in your local market. Sure, you'd like to see your team go to the championship series every year. But let's say Vegas and Florida end up there this spring. Like, is that good for hockey? Is that good for your fandom? Is that something you want to rally behind? Or are there, like, conditions where you want to see dynasty types like the Tampa Bay Lightning go back to the Stanley Cup final over and over again? Does it get tired for you? Or does that enhance the championship series?
I thought last year was, well, obviously, with the Maple Leafs not being there, different because two very unique markets, obviously both needing to win a Stanley Cup for the first time, right? So there was that entire narrative. Both kind of markets that you wouldn't technically think that would be huge hockey markets. So I thought there was a lot going for that storyline. But I don't know if you could repeat that again, right? Like, if we'd have the same excitement if it was the Panthers and the Golden Knights again this year. I do think having different teams, different markets, different fan bases get their moment to be in the Stanley Cup final is awesome. But there's something about an original six franchise or a dynasty getting an opportunity to add to something that they've been chasing forever. It'll be interesting. Like, both teams, you know, people are still considering them having an opportunity. But it was, I remember when Tampa went the back-to-back and, like, kind of got tiring.
To me, it's contingent. And I guess Tampa, I don't know if it falls into this. Maybe it's a little bit more specific because Steven Stamkos and his ability to play 1 year and not the year previous. But I do think it's contingent on players. Like, Sidney Crosby going back-to-back.
Well, you want to see that.
Defining his legacy. Definitely. Like, yes, that was really important, and that means something. When the Golden State Warriors and LeBron James were meeting each other over the course of a half decade every single year, I mean, no one tired of that because you have players who are some of the greatest who ever played that sport defining their legacies over a course of time and in championship moments. When you can have that, yes, it's worth it. But when it's just a two teams that maybe don't have that standout player, surefire Hall of Famer, maybe it doesn't hit as much as it should. But yeah, if Sidney Crosby's going for a third Stanley Cup in a row or Ovechkin's trying to repeat, it doesn't really matter because you're seeing great players trying to define themselves. I think that brings out more of it than single teams that are trying to win over and over and over
again. I will say, though, with Florida and Vegas, we found something to claw into, which was the Misfits in their sixth season that came out of nowhere and, like, created something. But that's
the story. It was the team.
Right. It was the team. And then with Florida, I mean, it was Matthew Tkachuk, and it was this underdog mentality that these guys nobody really bet on, and they went on this incredible run, and they peaked at the right time. So there's always something. But, yeah, I mean, seeing Sid go for another cup, obviously, if the Maple Leafs could get anywhere close, a Canadian team, that would mean a lot.
Yeah, Connor McDavid. Austin Matthews.
Yeah, love to see that.
Connor Bedard. Like, that, he might get to that point, right? Like, I think it's when players are trying to figure out where they are on the pecking order that goes across and spans generations and years and years and years of the sport, then, yeah, I think that means a little bit more. It makes it a little bit more appealing.
That rematch is on tonight on Sportsnet at 10 p.m. The game first up is Pittsburgh and Boston, though, at 7 p.m. Best bets or National Trivia Day?
Best bets.
Okay, best bets. We're going to do a couple quick ones here. I've got over 6.5 in the Sabres and the Habs, both tough goaltending in there tonight. Parlay that with Rangers -1.5 on the puck line. They got one of the best goaltenders in the world, and the Chicago Blackhawks don't score much. So put that together, it's around +200.
That's a good one. No parlay for me, but a +200 I'm choosing as well. I think the Panthers get revenge. The Panthers playing really, really well lately. Going into Vegas, they've never won in Vegas. They played the Stanley Cup final, didn't get a victory at T-Mobile Arena. I think that ends tonight, and I think they might do it in convincing fashion. Going for a 6-win in a row on a bit of a wave, Vegas kind of sputtering. So I'll take the Panthers, puck line, -1.5, +200. They get some revenge, but it's, you know, not a Stanley Cup.
All right, all that later on the network. We also got two big basketball games, which are going to be great. Giannis and Wemby at 7. And the defending champs and the Warriors at 10 p.m. Those are both on Sportsnet 1. We're going to keep the conversation going about this NHL All-Star weekend, which is about a month away. And at 6:50, we'll be sharing the first 16 players on the Eastern Conference voted in or chosen. And then during the first intermission, You get to hear the Western Conference ones. All that's to come. We're going to talk with Steve Mayer next on the Fan Pregame. We're back on the Fan Pregame, Sportsnet 360 and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, about 20 minutes away from announcing the first 16 Eastern Conference players who will be attending the All-Star Weekend here in Toronto, about a month away. And then during the first intermission of Pittsburgh and Boston on Sportsnet, you'll hear the 16 from the Western Conference. And then there will be voting opportunities for fans. We'll break that all down for you in about 20 minutes when we make that announcement. But we got Steve Mayer on the line, Chief Content Officer for the NHL. Steve, appreciate you joining us. Busy week, busy month.
It's a busy time at the NHL, but this is what we live for. This is what we get our, you know, our bloods going. This is good stuff.
Yeah, this year there's a lot of new things. There's a lot of creativity that's gone into it. We're obviously excited because we get to see it up close and personal, but some changes to the structure and to the prizing. So what was it inspired by? Time for a refreshment, time for the players to have their voice in it. How did it all come together?
So I really think that last year after our All-Star game in Florida, you know, we listened to the fans. We listened to the feedback we do every year. And we felt like, you know what, this is a time to refresh a little bit. We always are looking at ways to make it different. And look, you can see over the last 5 or 6 years, every year we've introduced something a bit different to All-Star Weekend. And this time we just felt like, you know, to change up skills was probably our hugest priority. But, you know, we also, you know, when it came to the game, leaned into, you know, somebody from Toronto, an idea that he came up with years ago when he used to work with the NHL, that was Brendan Shanahan. He is the one that was the one who said, let's do a draft. And so, you know, we felt like let's bring that back as well. So those two elements, which I think are going to be very unique to this weekend and a signature of the weekend, are now introduced or reintroduced in some cases.
Okay, so Brendan Shanahan's got his fingerprints on this, but so is Connor McDavid. I mean, I think the thing that was most interesting about the changes and the new approach to All-Star Weekend is that the best player in the world kind of had his hand in orchestrating what we're going to see. We know about the talent. I guess we didn't know necessarily about the powerful voice that he has and the influence he might have. Tell us about Connor McDavid getting involved, what he wanted to see, and how you guys work together on bringing a new skills competition to the fore.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we got to meet during the bubble, actually. And Edmonton in the bubble was only there for a short time, but we were in Edmonton. So we went to Connor and some of his teammates to talk about, you know, how we could introduce elements of Edmonton into the bubble. And it was then that you recognize that, you know, he does have a voice and he wants to be heard. And, you know, every once in a while, we'll run things by all our players. And believe me, the NHLPA is also a huge part of this and their interest in, you know, looking to improve and getting the players involved. But, you know, when it came to Connor, you know, I think it started as a very casual conversation. Actually, the commissioner was involved as well. And we started to talk about the need to change, especially skills. And, you know, that led to a deeper conversation, which actually led to a trip to Edmonton and a sit down with Connor and really specifically getting into, you know, what were the rules or what could the rules be and what would be interesting to a player? What would, you know, define the best all-around player in terms of what were the skills that we should put out there. And, you know, we saw his response and he was really leaning in, you know, really wasn't recommending who should participate, but more about, you know, how the event should go, the pace of the event. And then ultimately, you know, how we could finish the event with a bit of an obstacle course that would lead to an ultimate champion. So, he was all in, and we brought it to other players, you know, just to get their point of view. And that's where we really felt we had something, because across the board, everybody really liked the new concept. I think they also liked the fact that we're playing for $1 million. That doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
But in the end of the day, it was that sort of player buy-in when we felt that we have something here. And then to hear the response since we've announced it from our fans, we also are pretty confident that we have something, and it'll be really interesting to see how it all plays out.
Yeah, I think everyone's thrilled about it. I think the only person who might not be would be the 13th player, 12 if I'm mistaken, get to participate. If you're 13 on the list, you might be a little disappointed because there's a lot of money there. So how are the 12 players going to be decided? Is that come to fan vote? Is that going to be decided beforehand? How will those 12 be designated?
Within the next few weeks, you're going to hear the first 8 players that we will announce that will participate. And then the final 4 players will actually be voted by the fans. Hmm. So if the number 13 is upset, blame the fans. No, I'm just kidding. So that's how we're getting to the 12. And I actually think having now gone through, and there's so many people that are giving input as to who the 8 will be, and I'm sure you could open it up to your audience, and we'd love to hear what your audience thinks. But when you go and you put 8 on a piece of paper, wow, the next four are superstars. Mm. And it's going to be really hard for fans to kind of come up with who are the 12 they want to see, especially after they hear the first 8. But that's how we're going to do it. And again, you know, we want the fans to have an input in All-Star Weekend. That also makes it so much fun. That's why, you know, you'll hear the first 32 players tonight, and then the fans get to vote for 12. You know, and we think, one, that's a great aspect of All-Star Weekend. But for a fan, you know, it's nice to feel like you've had a say.
Oh, yeah. We've already been trying to, between Justin and I, draft out who we think would be doing what and who might be voted in and who might. It's the good thing is there's too many good players, but someone is going to have to be on the outside looking in. But one thing that the fans don't have say in is the draft that the players are doing. We're so excited to see that come back. I wonder for you if there's going to be a, you know, maybe like a compensation for the person voted last or anything different this time around, like a vehicle, anything floating around for the people being voted last? Or is there still secrets you don't want to share with us today?
There is a secret. Ooh. And I will not share.
Okay. But we're on the same wavelength then. How about that?
Well, we are. We all remember Phil Kessel mm-hmm. in the first year we ever did it. We do feel like we have a very unique ending to the draft that will be quite unique, but I'm not at liberty to share it just yet. Okay. And I also have a list in front of me of the 32 players that are going to be announced in a few minutes. I am not at liberty to share that.
All
well.
Right. You could just turn the paper around and we could see it.
Some things just must stay embargoed.
I could. Wait, I will say that, again, you know, we're always looking at, you know, these fun moments. I think the draft, and if our fans remember when we had it, you know, years ago, it was fun mm-hmm. and it shows the players' personality. You know, helmets are off. Guys are really enjoying themselves, even though there's some nervous tension, as you pointed out, towards the end. And I think this year, adding celebrities to the mix, and we'll be announcing that really soon, that'll add the fun. Everybody always leans in who's the team captain's going to be. You know, we've got a lot, by the way, to announce in the next month. But we're really happy with the way things are playing out. What a great city to have the All-Star game in. Mm-hmm. It's a city and a fan base that just loves the game. We haven't been in Toronto for an All-Star game in 20 years. There's a lot of really cool aspects that, you know, one by one we'll be announcing. And, you know, so far from what we have announced, which has not been that much, but enough, that we do think the response has been really great, and we hope it continues to be that way. You know, tonight's a fun night. Mm-hmm. It always spurs a lot of conversation, who was left off, who's going to be voted in. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is the first of many announcements in the next couple of weeks.
So we don't have surfboards or dunk tanks in Toronto. At least they're in storage right now. but I wonder about the challenge of showcasing Toronto, because the NHL relies on Toronto a lot. It's a major market that hosts marquee events. But part of the All-Star process and part of your process is, you know, showing off a hockey city and showing off what that city has to offer. So tell us about that challenge of bringing something new to the table here as it pertains to selling Toronto and showcasing Toronto as the hockey city it is.
So we don't look at it as a challenge at all. We just look at it as an opportunity to really, you know, especially in Toronto, to seize on those who are associated with the city, things that are unique to the city, obviously the hockey history, which is unique, all of the things that really make Toronto great. I think you will hear, and, you know, without giving too much information away, there are things that we're going to do that are, you know, that will resonate, and which we try to do in every one of our events. We just did Winter Classic in Seattle, and I hope everybody felt like, man, did that have a Seattle feel?
Yes.
and the same, you know, here, like there are going to be, you know, a lot of folks that will be involved that are just all about the city and will represent. And, you know, again, it's a little different with All-Star because, you know, we are bringing in, you know, players from all 32 cities. But, you know, the way we're going to do things on ice, introductions, the music performances that we'll be announcing, everything will have a very Canadian Toronto feel to it.
Nice. The gears are going. I have some ideas. I'm sure you've thought on them all. Someone, like maybe someone parachuting off the CN Tower in skates. Yeah, I'm sure that's totally doable.
Interesting. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up because, you know, listen, we've made decisions gradually. And, you know, in keeping with the theme of the last few years, you know, immediately, you know, when we said Toronto, our minds went to, all right, what could we do if we were going to do, you know, an outdoor event? And, you know, believe it or not, we did look at the CN Tower and could a puck survive hitting the ground and not going
No.
But, you know, but those are the things that I think, listen, we'll never say never. We went there for a few years. You know, they were fun. They did get quite a response. And socially, as you know, you know, some of those things go viral and that's tremendous. But, you know, we are staying away from that. We're going to do a few content things that we think will be fun and be outside of the arena and involve players and celebrity. But no events this year off the CN Tower. But, you know, we thought about it, that's for sure.
I definitely was trying to think the safest way, and I don't know if there is one. We're chatting with Steve Mayer, Chief Content Officer for the NHL. So I'm specifically very excited for the PWHL participation. This has been an amazing couple days, obviously a couple months leading up to it. But I wonder for you, with the inaugural month of the season, the buzz right now around the game, how important and how excited are you for the PWHL to have their own stage on that Thursday night?
Well, you know, listen, we made the decision to have an all-star showcase well before the league got underway. But wow, what a beginning. And, you know, now we've always been, but now this is going to be great. You know, and the top players all coming to one place and the league deserves it. And what an amazing start. And, you know, I think Thursday night we've never done a third night, and it's going to be a great night. If you to celebrate the game with the draft, a celebration of the 67 Leafs, and then, you know, this, you know, to finish the night with the encore with the PWHL All-Star Showcase, you know, again, it makes you feel good. Like we're psyched. This is, you know, we just came off a Winter Classic and there's nobody that's in this building. And right now I'm in the NHL offices that cannot wait to get this thing going. Like we are moving on because, you know, three nights of for us is unique and different, but, you know, it's going to be good.
Okay, Steve, we can't let you go without asking about the NHL draft coming up this year. The Sphere is going to be incorporated. Not announced?
Oh, well.
Just reported?
Wink, wink.
Okay, I can't ask anybody.
It's out there. It's out there. And,
okay.
You know, have you been?
We have not been.
I have been advocating. So if you need anyone to hold a camera.
Ailish will be there.
I can deliver you food.
I don't think there's any chance she's not going.
Whatever you need, Steve. I don't need to be there, right?
Can you give us then, because I'm jumping the gun a little bit, but maybe like a small semblance of what you guys have planned to do with the Sphere? Because that is a canvas that you have not had an opportunity to work on yet, Steve. And I imagine it will be quite the opportunity for you.
So you sort of said it. It's a canvas that is unbelievably unique. And if you haven't been there, it's well worth the trip. And certainly if you're in Vegas, you've got to go. You know, it's just so different, both inside and outside. And so, you know, the possibilities are endless of what we potentially could do. Obviously, it will be extremely unique. That's probably the most I'm at liberty to talk about at this moment, you know, because like we haven't officially announced. It was something that was approved during the Board of Governors meeting. And obviously it's out there. But it does, you know, and that's one of the things I think just as an overview, like we're never willing or wanting to rest on our laurels. Like, and that's something that I think I give a lot of credit to the commissioner. I mean, he is always pushing us to continue to grow everything that we're doing, to make it bigger and better, to think differently, to think out of the box. And so we just don't roll over and just, oh, we're going to Toronto. Let's just do the same thing we did last year. No, we have to look at, you know, how are we going to make this one so much better? And what are we going to do that is a bit different? And the same thing when it comes to drafts and award shows and Stanley Cup finals, all of the above. And, you know, the draft could be pretty fun. I mean, from a creative standpoint, and that's what I do, you know, it is the ultimate canvas to paint on. And it's very unique. And you know, we'll come up with ideas. But we also are going to have to learn, because it is so different. It is so unique. And it's not something that any of us have ever worked on before. So, it you know, we're going to understand what the capabilities are and try to take advantage of each and every one of them to make it a great draft.
Well, you've got an exciting 2024 ahead in about a month. We'll see you a little bit less than a month, I believe. What day is it today? Mm-hmm. Who knows? After the holidays, you don't even know. But we will be very excited to find out what you announce over the next couple of weeks for the Toronto All-Star Weekend. And, of course, wink, wink, we'll talk about the Sphere maybe down the road, all right?
An exciting NHL draft.
Yes, how about that? We appreciate it, Steve.
You guys are good. You got more out of me than most.
Oh, so, that works. Yeah, we're happy.
We'll visit each other when we're together. In fact, most of our team arrives around the 20th or 21st of the month. So
we'll catch up then.
A few weeks away.
Perfect. Well, congrats on everything so far, Steve. We're about 3 minutes away from being able to talk about the first 16 players in the Eastern Conference. So we'll let you go. I know you've got a lot going on your plate. So appreciate your time tonight, and we'll definitely chat soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Steve Mayer, Chief Content Officer for the NHL. What a fun job that is. Like, it's... Okay, the Sphere, he basically said it was happening.
It's going to be a fun draft.
Without saying he could do it. So just, you know, the betting odds are minus a billion at this point. That thing is so cool. The outside of it has surfaced. The inside has surfaced. My friend just saw U2, and she sent me all these videos, and I was like, what world is this? It's so cool. I need to get to the Sphere.
Yeah. I don't think, like, the normal NHL draft footage that you get is like Sphere worthy, right? It's like a bunch of families.
Well, it's like going to be some kid's face like up on the wall, but I don't care. I want it.
But if they have like amazing footage that they can make even more amazing, that's just running on the Sphere, like it will bring something different. It's just a shame that it seems like it's going to be the last one. It's like the best.
But you're saving at least the you're best going out with last. A bang. Like, it's the smartest way to do it.
He does have an amazing job, though.
Honestly.
Where he just, like...
creating like, content
he's just on the weekend,
and ideas.
He's thinking about what can we do with the CN Tower in terms of content for the NHL.
Imagine they had to have them doing cool the edge job. Walk up there, and they're like... I bet that's something... I don't know. I don't want to bet anything.
It's just too cold.
But they can wear their gear
do they
up
do
on
the
CN
walk
Tower.
When it's cold?
I'm sure they could figure it out here in Toronto. Give them the key to the city. There'll be so much fun stuff. Speaking of fun stuff, by the time I finish reading this, we'll be able to officially announce it.
Gotta wait for the...
I have to wait for exactly 6:50, but we're close. So 32 players tonight will be announced from one from each team. 16 in the next 5 minutes here from the East and then 16 from the West. And you can catch the West between the intermission of the Bruins and the Penguins on Sportsnet. Then the final 12 players in the entire league will be voted in by fans. So if you don't see your favorite player now, you're going to get voting. And the voting will start pretty soon, basically right after all of this happens today. You'll be able to go to NHL.com/vote and the NHL app to do the voting. It's 6:50.
You're clear.
I'm clear to go. Drum roll? Like, do we have any fun music?
No, we should have prepared that.
Okay, don't worry. The first 16 All-Stars from the Eastern Conference. David Pastrnak from the Boston Bruins. Rasmus Dahlin from the Buffalo Sabres. Sebastian Aho from the Carolina Hurricanes. Do you want to read some?
No, you got it.
Boone Jenner from the Columbus Blue Jackets. Alex DeBrincat, Detroit Red Wings. Sam Reinhart, Florida Panthers. Nick Suzuki, Montreal Canadiens. Jack Hughes, New Jersey Devils. Matthew Barzal, New York Islanders. Igor Shesterkin, New York Rangers. Brady Tkachuk, Ottawa Senators. Travis Konecny, Philadelphia Flyers. Sidney Crosby, Pittsburgh Penguins. Nikita Kucherov, Tampa Bay Lightning. Austin Matthews, Toronto Maple Leafs. And Tom Wilson, the Washington Capitals.
Okay. So
ooh,
there's the
that
first
was
16.
Fun.
Every team from the Eastern Conference represented.
Mm-hmm.
But like immediately my mind goes to who's not on that list, right? Like, yep. Some celebration. Sidney Crosby, another All-Star
yay.
Game. Austin Matthews, Sebastian Aho, David Pastrnak. That looks like the makings of a great, well, not team, because they're going to do a player draft.
Mm-hmm.
But that's awesome. All deserving All-Stars. But the names that you did not say. Just a couple
Willie
off the bat.
Willie Styles.
William Nylander, who you and I have discussed, may or may not ever go to an All-Star game.
It's got to be his year, man.
Through his association with Austin Matthews, because he just goes every year. Artemi Panarin might win the Hart Trophy.
Yeah.
He's not on the list.
Let's see. You got Igor Shesterkin. He's so good.
Mitch Marner not on the list. Matthew Tkachuk, although the shooting percentage maybe dictates that he shouldn't be. Jeremy Swayman also. Maybe the best goaltender in the league, not on the list. Anyone else stand
well,
out to you?
I think Tom Wilson for the Washington Capitals is an interesting selection when you have Alexander Ovechkin. But this being stated, sometimes the decision might be made to help push, like, let's get the voting for Ovi, or maybe Ovi doesn't want to go. Like, sometimes we don't know the answer to that, but Tom Wilson is a local kid, so kind of cool for him. But Ovi is Ovi, right? I know Ovi's not Ovi,
the
but
the competition is going to be tough for Ovi to win a fan vote here.
It's just, it's different to not see his name on the ballot.
It should be stated that there are 12 players who are not going to be named today that are going to go to the All-Star game, fan vote. But that's across the entire league.
Yeah, there's a lot of players.
So the teams with two automatic entries that you'd think, like Toronto with Matthews and Nylander, maybe Marner, and being the host city, Edmonton, McDavid, Dreisaitl, not sure which one's going. I mean, I could guess, but they'd have to be a fan vote for the other. Colorado, lots of teams have two entries that are going to absorb that 12 spots pretty quickly. So the ones we named here, not guaranteed to go in, and there's a couple of names that you'd probably think, like, Noah Dobson's having an amazing year. Victor Hedman, Morgan Rielly.
Even Steven Stamkos. Like, I know I'm thinking more like legend of the last while of being on ballots, but he's a guy from just north of the city. Tampa Bay Lightning have a couple players that could be on this ballot too, right? So it's when there's only 12 players to vote in, which you'll find out after the first intermission, which first 32 players are announced. 12? In the entire NHL is going to be very difficult. The teams are going to have to be going hard on the marketing campaign because you said it, William Nylander's got to be in there. Are you going to be able to get William Nylander and Mitch Marner and all of us already have Austin Matthews? Morgan Rielly's having a great season. Like, it's going to be hard.
One more important note, I think, here based on these first 16, only one goaltender, right? If I'm looking at that correctly, only one goaltender, Igor Shesterkin. I mean, there can't be just two goaltenders going to All-Star Weekend.
So
I know they're not going to be involved in the skills competition as much, but you can't have them play a full game. You'd need one per period. So maybe a couple are coming from the Western Conference. Maybe that means you have to vote in a couple from the fan vote. So that shrinks the list even more. It's going to be tough competition to grab those 12 extra spots.
All right, so first intermission of tonight's game on Sportsnet, Pittsburgh and Boston. You'll hear the 16 from the Western Conference, and then we can talk snubs, we can talk voting strategies, we can get all into that on a Friday. I do wonder, and we should have asked Steve, how they're going to choose a PWHL selection for their showcase. Because I'm ready. I'm ready to set my roster. We can do this. Who should be going? See how close we are. Because I actually don't know that.
I think that we should figure that out. Yeah, definitely.
All right, that was a fun one. That was a felt like important, like Vanna White, revealing the letters.
There was like less glitz and glamour, though. Like,
yeah, definitely
you weren't turning anything around.
Definitely less glitz in her. All right, everybody, have a wonderful night. We'll be back tomorrow on Friday.